News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Center on the other side of the glass. His fabulosity is completely unmatched, so we always are glad when he's helping us and doing his hard work. So all that is very much appreciated. On the news line with us now, Tom Butzler is back. He's the horticulture educator up at the Penn State Extension office up in Clinton County. We've relied on him for so many good pieces of information, what to plant, when to plant, how to watch out for pests and the spongy moths and a wide range of other things. Plus, he's the bee man. Tens of thousands of people have seen his bee class online from Penn State's outreach. Tom, thanks for checking in today. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Mark.
Well, walk us through my garden and my landscaping late summer. So we got two things going on. We're going to get ready for fall. And the second one is we are not yet recovered, in a technical sense, from the drought. So we probably have a lot of dry plants. Maybe some folks are even thinking maybe these aren't ideal plants on their gardens or landscapes.
Yeah, so you know, those are some good points you brought up there. The Pennsylvania Department of Protection, I believe it is the, you know, the entity that decides whether we're in a drought or out. And I suspect with the rain we got, you know, it's going to increase the groundwater content and soil moisture and so forth. So I think we'll come out of the drought, but you know, it might be time to consider or reconsider, you know, your landscape and garden if this occurs on a more regular basis, how we can kind of mitigate some of these drought-like problems we have in our garden. And so I think one of the things that people really need to maybe evaluate for their gardens is to increase their organic matter. Organic matter, you know, this is adding, you know, leaves to your compost pile, putting compost manure into the garden, so forth. If you can increase that organic matter, you can really increase the water holding capacity of your garden. And if you do that, Mark, your vegetable plants will be less drought stressed or be able to handle that drought period until we get some of those rainfall events. So, you know, I started in, I enlarged my garden last summer, and I was unable to really work the soil much, add organic matter and so forth. And you could see the clear delineation between my garden that's been in existence for years, where I've improved that organic matter content, in that new garden, which was really almost not virgin soil, but it just didn't have, you know, I didn't add manure and dried leaves over the years to it. And those plants were so stressed out, small, wilting down. And so I have to pay some attention to that new section of the garden and increase that organic matter. That will go a long way to relieving some of that drought stress.
So you don't want that bare dirt that you see that sort of gets hard and crusty as the drought goes on.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, and the other thing you could do, at least in a garden situation, is to put a layer of mulch down so that, you know, that soil is not exposed to that dry atmosphere. And it slows down the water evaporation, you know, into that atmosphere. So it holds it into that soil a little bit. So that's the other thing you could do is add some mulch around those tomatoes, tomato plants, pepper plants, and so forth. Yeah.
All right, Dan, continue. We were talking about sort of mitigating drought impacts, organic matters in one way. We often hear about drought-resistant plants.
Yeah, so, you know, it may be time to evaluate what you have in your landscape. So just as an example, Mark, you know, a lot of people like our native flowering dogwoods. Great, great plant. But when you look at it in its natural habitat, it's an understory plant. You go through, you know, our state forests, state parks, and so forth, you see dogwoods in their natural environment. They are an understory tree. You know, they're not really designed to be out in the middle of a lawn just baking in the sun. And so some of those plants, such as flowering dogwoods and others, you know, if this is, you know, where these summers are going to be much more hotter, drier, these plants are not acclimated to those types of conditions. And we may need to reevaluate the plants that we have in our landscape, whether you remove the existing ones or, you know, you expand or build, or you're thinking of building. Look at some of these plants that are a little more hardy and in these drier type conditions. So, for example, you know, one thing, you know, I go down to the beach periodically over my lifetime. If you look in some of these beach areas, naturalized areas, look at some of those plants that are in those dunes. You'll see junipers. You'll see bayberries. You'll see rugosa rose. And if you think of a dune, you know, yeah, they might get some rain periodically, but those soils are not really great at holding water. So those plants have adapted to into these drier soil conditions. So that might be something to look at, as I mentioned, is junipers. They do great in dry situations. And then you can also look at, you know, like your perennials, you know, a favorite one. And you see this plant, in, I think, a lot. But it's one that people don't recognize maybe as being drought hardy, or your black-eyed Susans, you know, they midsummer to fall. Plants like that, Indian flower, liatris, or blazing star. So there are a number of plants that are better suited to some of these drier conditions that we seem to be experiencing maybe on a more regular basis. And then you have your lawn. Yeah, you know, people have their landscape beds where you've got trees and shrubs and flowers, but then a lawn comprises a good part of the landscape. And we may need to readjust on how we manage our lawns. I know growing up, my father liked to mow his lawn at a very, very close to the soil surface. He liked to keep those blades cropped pretty close to, And so we may need to raise the mower deck so that our leaf blades are about 2.5 to 3 inches long. And it's a taller look, but what's going on there is those leaf blades are creating shade over that soil surface, and it slows down some of the loss of water from the soil surface. If you mow closer to the soil surface, you're exposing that soil to sunlight, and you lose moisture much more quickly. So during these summer months, well, I guess late spring going into the summer, you want to raise that mower deck and have that grass at a higher level. Not saying that it will still dry down, but it gives it a greater chance of surviving. Now, I know not really here in central Pennsylvania, we did get some timely rains, but you look across the state and some of these lawns are just, I mean, it's just brown all over. And it may be that folks are going to have to go in and do some overseeding this fall. We do, here in Pennsylvania, have what we call these cool season grasses. They can withstand dry periods. They can withstand drought, but only for an extended period of time. They go into this dormant state. The leaves turn brown. When I say leaves, I mean the blades. But the crowns are still alive. And they'll be fine for several weeks without any moisture. But at some point, even then, with these very dry conditions, those grounds will kind of give up and then die off. And so we may see, as we get into these cooler temperatures, we had these rainfall events, lawns starting to green back up, but you're going to see some dead patches. And it's a good idea for folks this fall to overseed, because if those patches remain this fall and you go into spring, those are going to be excellent places for weeds, crabgrass as an example, to take hold next year. So try to fill that void with grass rather than weed seed.
What about go ahead and cut down plants now? I mean, I have a lot of columbine, phlox, and ferns. They look like they went through some scorched earth or something. Okay to cut them down now and just look for a nice spring around the corner?
Yeah, so if the plants have pretty much died down, I mean, the above-ground foliage is gone, or it's not green, it's not photosynthesizing anymore. And so, you know, usually you like to hold off so that it can capture those sunlight rays and, you know, produce food, get it through the winter. You know, that food is taken down into those storage structures underground and, you know, that energy reserve so it can push growth in the spring. But if that foliage is dead or dying, you certainly can remove it. There is a trend, Mark, to try to leave a lot of our perennials and other plants go through the winter months. It may look a little scrappy in our landscape, but there are a lot of native bees and other insects that will overwinter in these structures. And so one thought is, to leave some of that stuff standing so that these native insects can make it through the winter. I guess my rule of thumb on that is, you know, if you're on a corner lot or, you know, curbside, you want things to look nice, right? You don't want to be your neighbors to get irate and say that looks like garbage. But, you know, in some of the backyard settings, some of these perennial gardens and so forth, you might just want to let it go until the spring and do the cleanup then. No one's going to see it, other than you maybe looking out the window in the winter months, sipping your coffee. But, you know, some of our native bees would probably appreciate it.
All right. Finally, really quickly, when should you water trees, and how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. You know, I think we're going to be okay now with some of these rainfall events we've had yesterday or a couple days ago and today. You know, talking to some of my colleagues in a meeting the other day, over in the western part of the state, they got, some of them said about a half an inch of rain, but over, that's the western part of the state, over in the eastern part, up to 4 inches. So, you know, we got some rain there. But the point being, yes, our woody plants, our shrubs and trees, need moisture to harden off in the fall. You know, if they don't, are unable to harden off correctly, some of that tissue is susceptible to winter damage. They just can't go through the process of basically shutting down, getting ready for those cold months. And, you may need, if you didn't get some of these rainfall events, you may need to water those trees and shrubs so that they can properly harden off and survive some of those winter events. You know, who knows what this winter could be. It could be mild. Or we could get some of those, you know, deep freezes that come out of the north. So that is something that needs to take into consideration going into the fall, that trees and shrubs may need to be watered.
All right. Well, we always appreciate your help. Where can I get more information if we're looking for more details about these kinds of topics?
Yeah. Penn State has a plethora of fact sheets on, plants that are hardy for dry situations, how to take care of newly planted trees, how to overseed your lawn. So, you know, just Penn State Extension, and then you just start typing some of those keywords. You know, if you have questions about your lawn, type that in, trees and so forth.
And where might we find you? I know you do some educational events out in the community. Any public events coming up we can look for?
No, you know, during the summer months, I'm out in vegetable fields quite a bit. So, I do hold a turf and ornamental field day up at the Penn State Arboretum in August, but, you know, that is over with. So we are planning our winter meetings at this point. Typically, we hold a landscaping conference down in Lewisburg every year in March. So hopefully getting that date set. And folks are more than welcome to come out to something like that.
All right. Well, stay in touch. We'll announce that when the date comes. Tom, thank you so much for all your information and all the education you're putting out there for folks who just love the greenery and the outdoors. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Happy gardening.
Thank you so much. Tom Butzler, horticulture educator, Penn State Extension Office, Clinton County, on your late summer options for gardeners and landscapers, what you need to do and what you can do to be a little bit more drought resistant. PennState.edu/extension gets you through to some of the good information that he passes along.